Joining us this morning is Silma Raymond, and Silma is the program manager for the State Department of Assessments and Taxation in their tax credit division. Silma began her career with the department in 1985, and through her strong leadership qualities, she quickly worked her way up the ranks. She now oversees the homeowners, renters, and homestead tax credit programs. And these programs provide more than $260 million in tax relief for Marylanders. During the hectic application period, Silma and her team, they assist dozens of elderly walk-in customers, and they answer more than 1,000 phone calls and email responses. And she's been a tremendous mentor who encourages and instills a culture of high-quality customer service in her team. And under her guidance, program applications are processed quickly and accurately while keeping employee morale high. And we're very excited to have her this morning to recognize her for her great work. So if you could please join me in giving Silma a huge round of applause and thank her. I love doing that. Thank you so much for all your hard work on behalf of the taxpayers. With that, I'm going to turn it over to the comptroller for any opening remarks.
Thank you, Governor. I appreciate that. And I don't know whether anyone noticed, but the treasurer isn't here. I wanted to take a moment and just
salute. There was a lot of elbow room.
Yeah. Apparently, she is celebrating her 50th wedding anniversary. I love Nancy Cobb. Years ago, when I was a young and irresponsible legislator, I supported her in an insurgent campaign that she launched against the then Speaker of the House. She was going to come in, and we were going to clean everything up, and so me and a whole bunch of people supported her. She almost immediately dropped out and left us on the battlefield. I remember an iconic meeting with then Chairman of the Appropriations Committee, Pete Rawlings, who's no longer with us, but they were laying out all of the terms of surrender for us insurgents. And at one point I looked up and said, "Mr. Chairman, you can't do that. That's unfair." He looked back at me and he said, "Peter, if you have the votes, you can do just about anything." It's a good lesson for me, and but I have a fond, warm feeling for the treasurer, for her tenure as treasurer, but also her unbelievable accomplishments, particularly on higher education in the legislature. And I just want to let her know that we appreciate and honor her, and I hesitate in this era to say that I love Nancy Cobb, but I do love Nancy Cobb. And Governor, I know you share my.
And I'll second that, and we want to. We should give her a citation when she comes back. That's a pretty incredible accomplishment.
I have one other person I wanted to honor, and that's Delegate Adrian Jones, who made history as our state's first African American. Speaker Jones and I served together on the House Appropriations Committee for 10 years. I'm confident that the legislature and the citizens of Maryland are going to benefit from her breath of fresh air, strong intellect, incredible experience, results-driven approach to policy making. With the fiscal and economic uncertainties that await our state in the coming years, I look forward to working with Speaker Jones and all members of the General Assembly to chart a course for our state that protects working families and small businesses from any financial disruptions in the foreseeable future. Having lived through this in the downturn of 2009, thank God we have the Board of Public Works, but we cut $1 billion in real-time money out of the budget. We do not want to do that again. I want to also take a moment to congratulate Baltimore's new mayor, Jack Young, whose inaugural ceremony I'll be attending tomorrow, as well as the new president of the City Council, Brandon Scott. Both of these gentlemen have distinguished records of public service, and I wish them the very best as they navigate through the many challenges that impact the lives of Baltimoreans each and every day. As the city of Baltimore begins the long process of healing, as a bruising and unfortunate chapter in its history comes to a close, it's my hope that the leaders will have a renewed focus on restoring the trust and confidence of the residents of the city. Baltimore is crying out for honest and competent leadership, and the good people of Baltimore deserve nothing less than that from those they entrust in public office. And if I could just offer my unsolicited 2 cents on a good place to start, I would suggest that Baltimore city leaders devote time, energy, and resources on the basics of running a city. Clean up the trash from the streets. Provide kids with climate-controlled and safe school buildings. Address the alarming crime rate that invokes fear among residents and visitors alike. And fix the potholes. Let's face it. You can't trust your elected officials. If you can't trust them to do the little things, then I know it's somewhat humorous about picking up the trash and fixing the potholes and getting rid of the vermin that sometimes infect, that are sometimes in urban areas. Do that, and you're going to get a big vote of confidence when you try to address corruption in the police force and educational problems in the schools. But it's hard to have the confidence of the people if the schools, the kids can't even drink the water from the water fountains. So, I happen to believe that if residents can't trust their elected officials with the small stuff, it's impossible to trust their elected officials with the big stuff, and small businesses and innovators won't take a chance on Baltimore, invest capital, create jobs and opportunities for future generations of residents if we don't have new leadership. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Mr. Comptroller. Now we'll get started with the Secretary's agenda.
Morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller. We have 17 items on the Secretary's agenda. We are withdrawing item 17. It is in queue for our next board meeting. So we have 16 items remaining for your consideration.
Any questions? So
I did have one quick question on item 11. I'm going to vote for it, but there was a significant increase in price for this.
Mr. Kennick is here from Maryland Environmental Service.
Eastern Correctional Institution Wastewater Treatment Plant Upgrade. The initial contract, I thought, was the estimate for phase two was $14.8 million. And this item is $9.1 million higher, $23.9 million. Just thank you for being here and explaining that.
Yes, good morning. Mr. Comptroller, Mr. Governor, Ellen Forkedick from Maryland Environmental Service. When we came forward with the initial contract prices, we had scaled the project way back. We were trying to stay within the budget we had at that time. We were going to, we had had a value engineering study done, and they said, well, you can probably eliminate some things and wait until you get additional funding to put those in. So we gave the contractors a very reduced scope. And it was basically just an interim step to get the plant into compliance because we had the new permit that kicked in January 1st of 2018, and we have not been meeting the requirements of the discharge permit. So we wanted to get that done. Meanwhile, we got additional funding, and the contractor said, listen, we can build all this now. you know, it's going to be easier to put all this in at one time. It'll be cheaper to put it all in one time instead of two steps. And also, the other thing that drove the cost up, the control system that we had, because initially it was going to be very simple, just enough to get us by. And it's kind of complicated out there because we send effluent from the wastewater treatment plant over to the cogeneration plant for cooling water. We're getting reject water, which is essentially like backwash from the water plant going to the wastewater plant. So the controls are kind of complicated. But when this gets done, oh, and one more thing. We were required, there was one process step that we thought we were going to be able to eliminate, but when we took it to MDE for the construction permit, they said they wanted the assurance, they wanted this process in because they want the assurance that we are going to meet our discharge permit, and it is going to be one of the most stringent permits in the state. We already had an ENR level treatment plant. This is going beyond that. So when we get done with this work, we're going to be done. We're going to meet permit. We're going to take care of the liquid stream of the plant. The only thing we have left to do is going to be taking care of the sludge processing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Move
approval. Second. 2-0.
Thank you.
Move on to DNR, real property.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, Jeannie Hadaway Riccio, Secretary of Department of Natural Resources. And
can I interrupt 1 second,
yes,
Madam
sir.
Secretary? We went yesterday, you were kind enough to invite me to join you for the 50th anniversary of the Department of Natural Resources picnic with all the employees, and it was just an incredible event. And I want to congratulate all your incredible employees for, you know, a lot of things have changed over the past 50 years, but the dedication of those employees and the wonderful work that they do has not changed. And thank you for your leadership, and thank you for the invitation. It was a wonderful, beautiful day out there. I don't know who's in charge of the weather at DNR, but great job.
Well, thank you very much for being there, and I hope that you'll both join us on July 1 for our official anniversary party. And with that, we have 7 items on our real property agenda today for your consideration.
Any questions on DNR?
Move approval.
Second. 2-0. Move on to DVM.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller. I'm David Brinkley, the Secretary of the Department of Budget and Management. 2 weeks ago, we brought to you one item. Today, we bring you 22 items, so we're balancing it all out.
What did you say, 22?
22. So I have people here to
address. I'm glad you guys finally stepped it up.
We have people here to address any questions you might have.
I want to highlight item 6, if I can. Mr. James. Good morning, Mr. Secretary.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller.
Thank you very much for being here. This is a request from the Department of Human Services seeking approval for a 4-year contract to provide behavioral, educational, and medical services to children who have been found to be abused as a result of involvement with sex trafficking. We know that you have made great progress in reducing the number of kids that are placed in out-of-state programs, and that this program will particularly address a challenging population. And I just want to recognize you and your team. And I didn't call you up here to ask tough questions, but just to thank you for your tremendous efforts in this area, Mr. James.
Thank you, Governor. For the record, I'm Greg James, Deputy Secretary for Operations from the Maryland Department of Human Services. Thank you for that. We are very happy to have this item before the board and to move forward with these contracts to stand up these new programs and other new programs. As we've said, we are fiercely committed to building the services necessary to serve all of our vulnerable youth in Maryland whenever possible, but really assuring that they get the services that they need. And it is thanks to the leadership of you, Governor, and Secretary Padilla at our department, as well as our partners at Department of Health and Department of Juvenile Services and elsewhere within the state. And I really would like to recognize as well the leadership within our Social Services Administration and the 24 local departments of social services work on it this every day. And in particular, Tennille Thomas is our Chief of Staff at Social Services Administration and has done yeoman's work on these cases. She knows every child's name and is familiar with every one of these cases, and really has put her heart and soul into this and has worked very hard for this. So thank you, Governor.
Thank you very much for your great work. We appreciate it.
So I have a couple of tough questions. I'm kidding. This movement from 64 out-of-state youth being treated out-of-state for significant amounts of taxpayer money, moving that back into the state, from 64, I think you're down to 18, that is just phenomenal. And I want to salute you, Secretary James, and also, obviously, the administration and your staff. But this is not an easy task. You turned the big ship around and pointed in a much better direction. And I personally appreciate it. And if you could provide us some real-time information as you move forward on this so that we have some confidence that, to the extent possible, all these kids ultimately come back for treatment in Maryland. And hats off.
Comptroller, we'd be happy to continue to update you and the board as we make progress on this, and as we encounter new challenges, we'll bring those to you as well.
And let me thank my colleague, the comptroller, for his leadership on this issue. I know that there was one of these hearings that was a little more contentious and not so good, where the comptroller was getting pretty rough and did ask tough questions. But it was tough love, and we were saying that we were both concerned about this, and I think you guys really took it seriously and have jumped all over this issue. And I know these are the most difficult populations to deal with, and they face unique challenges, but I think you guys have done a great job in turning things around. So thank you.
Again, thank you so much for your support, Governor, and your support, Mr. Comptroller. It really has made a big difference for us in tackling this problem. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions on DDS?
Move approval.
Second. No, thank you. Maybe you should bring 22 items every week.
I know.
We're going to move on to the university system.
Good morning. Joe Evans, representing the University System of Maryland. We have 4 items on the agenda. Here to answer any questions.
I don't have any questions.
Move approval.
Second.
Thank you.
Nothing. Thank you. Department of Information Technology.
Good morning, Governor. Mr. Comptroller, for the record, I'm Michael Leahy, Secretary of the Department of Information Technology. Today we have 10 items on our agenda. One is supplemental, and I do have representatives available to answer any questions.
Questions? So I'll do it.
Yeah, item 7, please.
Yes, sir. Jada Wright.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Governor, Mr. Comptroller. Greg Slater, for the record, Administrator, MDOT State Highway Administration. I'm here to answer any questions you may have on this software service type.
Right. Well, this has nothing to do with the Secretary or the SHA Administrator. It simply has, it struck me that this item, as small an amount of money it is, relatively speaking, if I could just get an explanation of exactly what's going on. This software is in the briefing material, it's the purchase analytics platform of transportation, big data capable of generating car and truck origin to destination and average daily traffic for all roadways. That struck me as a little bit problematic in the sense that we may be collecting data about our citizens that they would not be very happy that we are amassing, I guess, somewhere in some research project. So I'm wondering if this program that you're talking about is capable of figuring out where I live and where I work based on the frequency of my travels to those destinations.
Absolutely. I'm happy to walk through it. In fact, it's the opposite of that. It's to protect those types of practices. StreetLight is a cloud-based software as a service analytical platform. It's capable of generating car and truck origin destination in a non-traditional type of a sense to understand the daily traffic within our regions. So what it does is it helps us deal with this increasing demand for understanding travel patterns during work zones and in these congested conditions and where traffic is overflowing. So what happens is with the severe congestion that we have in our state, it's like water. So it travels, and then you add that to people using cell phones and those types of things for navigation. It changes the travel patterns and creates some issues on the local system that we need to understand better. So what StreetLight does is it uses a system that completely replaces the traditional sense methods of old methods like license plate reader, those types of things, and replaces it with scrub data of all personally identifiable information. And it uses, under the general data protection regulation, this concept called privacy by design. So what it does is a software as a service that takes all that data and scrubs it all, but also certifies through all the sources of that data that feed that system that they've taken that privacy into that account as well.
And where does the data come from?
It comes from probe-based sources. So what it does is traditional sources would do things like license plate readers, those types of things. What this does is it combines probe data. So people that are using cell phone apps to navigate, it helps us understand where they're traveling from in zones versus exact locations.
Okay. So not the individuals, but how many people are going from what?
Yeah, no, I understand that, but my cell phone is something that I wasn't clear on that, and if I could make a friendly request to defer this until the next meeting so I could get a little more information on exactly why this is, and I'm not suggesting any ill will here, I'm just suggesting that. Well, I grew up reading George Orwell, 1984. So to the extent we can accomplish something with a few people and a clipboard out at, not to bring up something specific, but when I leave Annapolis in the afternoon and I'm heading up to Baltimore, there is an unbelievable backup where, you know, 97 comes into, I don't even know what the road is, whether it's Riva Road or one of those roads. It's I guess, four lanes coming into two. And I think what happens is that people are so frustrated at the confluence of this that they don't let people in at all. So the whole thing becomes, you could send someone with a clipboard out there just to see if there's another lane or something that can be added.
Every single
day, you know, with Governor Hogan on anything.
I think if we move forward this way, you wouldn't have enough clipboard. It would just tell us how many cars are coming.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I could see that, but
and, you know, 1984 was 35 years ago.
I also have Carol Delion here.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I have Carol here, who is one of our very talented traffic engineers. If you have any specific questions, she may be able to address them as well.
Yeah, well, I'm going to take advantage of, if the governor is willing to defer it for till the next meeting, I can have a meeting and get fully briefed on it. And thank you very much for that.
Is there any urgency? Something going to happen if we wait and get more information from the comptroller, right?
Absolutely. I think we can work through that.
Do you want to go ahead and withdraw it and bring it back?
To the next.
Yeah.
Mr. Comptroller.
Yes. Do you want that to withdraw before?
Yes, please. The matter he brought up about privacy by design has been a movement over the last 10 years that has been pushed forward by the Federal Trade Commission and other international bodies that are concerned about citizen privacy, just as you've mentioned it. And we're happy to talk to you about that because it's a significant issue for Do It Too, that we want to make sure we're protecting our citizens' privacy.
Thank you for that. And my daughter-in-law is named, her name is Alexa. So I'm scared to death at what has been soaked up in my little tube.
Yeah.
But that's okay, as long as people are aware of it and taking a look at it, and happy to be supportive at the next meeting.
So, Greg, if you would work together and explain then how specifically signals
from the comptroller's phone would be used and how it could be tracked if it is in fact tracked, right? Explain. So take
we're
it down to that level.
He can sit down and spend the next 2 weeks talking to him if you want.
Absolutely.
I won't be here at the next meeting, so I was going to vote yes, but I won't get the vote in 2 weeks. So
we'll
you guys can do it without me.
Thank you.
Look forward to it.
Thank you. Is there any other questions on I do it? Is there a motion?
No. Move approval.
With the removal of the one item?
Yeah, we withdrew that item.
Second. We'll move on to the Department of Transportation. Went from a transportation into transportation.
Thank you, Governor, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, my name is Pete Ron, Secretary of the Maryland Department of Transportation. MDOT is presenting 15 items today, and we are withdrawing item 16GM, and we're prepared to answer any questions.
Any questions? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second. 2-0 on transportation. Department of General Services.
Hello. Good morning, Governor and Mr. Comptroller. My name is Diane Wilson. I am Chief of Staff for Secretary Churchill. The department has 24 items on our agenda, and we'll be glad to answer any questions that you have.
Questions on DGS?
No. Move approval.
Second. Shortest meeting in DPW history. We are adjourned.
Thank you. All right.
Thanks again.